Hello everyone, thanks for joining us today. I'm John Noonan of Azure Marketing, and I'm excited to have Principal Program Manager Lead Jurgen Thomas and Principal IT Enterprise Architect Peter Loop with us today to discuss SAP on Azure. We'll start off with a presentation from Jurgen and Peter and save 5 to 10 minutes for Q&A at the end of the session. So if you have any questions, feel free to submit those and we'll answer as many as we can at the end. Also, just to note, we'll be making a copy of the slides and a recording of this presentation available to all registrants via email in the near future. And with that, I'll hand it off to Jurgen and Peter.
Hello, good day, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, and listen to us in the webcast. My name is Jurgen Thomas. I'm leading from the first part of the slides, and then I will hand over to Peter Loop in order to cover the Microsoft IT story of SAP on Azure.
Hello, everyone.
So let's start. SAP applications on Microsoft Azure. It's a project that we followed for quite a while with SAP, which finally in May this year ended in a first step of, or first wave of certifying SAP products on Microsoft Azure Infrastructure as a Service platform. When we look at the products or the scenarios that were certified, we look at the business suite software based on NetWeaver 7X. We'll see more details on that in the next slide. When we look at the Windows, also the SAP HANA Developer Edition, and certainly the NetWeaver application server of 7X. When we look at the guest OS, you see that nearly exclusively we are looking into Windows, at least for the NetWeaver part. Certainly Novell SUSE Linux for the HANA Developer Edition. Looking at the RDBMS that are supported so far, we are looking mainly SQL Server with Sybase ASE following in the next few weeks. So Sybase ASE has not been certified yet, but we are working on it, so should be in the next few weeks that we are there. VM type-wise, you might know of Azure that there are different VM types, some of them being on the smaller side, some of them being a little bit larger. A5 at the moment is a relatively small VM with two CPUs and 14 gigabyte of memory only that we have certified. We'll have a few more words on why that is the case afterwards in the next few slides. For HANA Developer Edition, we are looking into A7 and A8 VMs. That would be VMs of 8 CPUs, 56 gigabyte each. When we look into the products of SAP a little bit more closer, we really look into the NetWeaver-based applications that are basically business suite, ERP, CRM, whatever we have there. And we certainly the related operating systems and database systems need to be releases that were supported by SAP before. We'll go into the deeper a little bit into that. HANA Developer Edition we named already, Sybase ASE as well. Maybe look into the current state of operating system releases. It is Windows Server 2008 R2 and later. It means Windows Server 2012, Windows Server 2012 R2, which are supported in conjunction with SAP as guest operating systems. Reason for only supporting Windows Server 2008 R2 is that we implemented quite a few changes in the memory management of Windows Server 2008 R2 that makes it running better with SAP. That is why we cut the line there and did not support Windows Server 2008 in this particular scenario for Azure. Database server release from SQL Server is similar. We cut the line with SQL Server 2008 R2. Main reason for that is that in SQL Server 2008 R2, we did tremendous work in getting Unicode compression into that product. So from a database compression point of view, this is the best product that you can have for more recent releases like SQL Server 2012 and SQL Server 2014. The database compression being fully implemented in SQL Server 2008 R2 basically led us to not supporting SQL Server 2008 and 2005 for this particular scenario. Please note that these these supported products or combination of releases of the guest OS and SQL Server are a subset only what is supported for NetWeaver 7x on the on-premise deployments. When we are looking into HANA, what's supported as HANA here on Azure, we are looking at HANA Developer Edition only. That's the smallest HANA SKU. Can't be used for productive application. Can't be used in conjunction with NetWeaver-based application. It is community supported only, as most of you do know. And it's deployed through the SAP Cloud Appliance Library. As with some competitive infrastructure as a service platforms, there is no gallery image of HANA available through the portal, through the Azure portal. So the way of deploying it is through the SAP Cloud Appliance Library that is hosted on an SAP website. I added the link to the SAP, to documentation by SAP about this. What about the VM sizes? You saw in an earlier slide that I had the A5 VM listed as certified and supported VM type or VM size. As mentioned, it's two processors, 14 gigabyte of size. That's very small. We did test already A6 and A7s as well, and we are conducting the testing sizing testing already for A8 sizes and A9 sizes. What we can tell so far is that A6 and A7 will linearly increase the SAPS throughput numbers of the A5. So you can expect the linear increase within the linear increase of processes of the different VM types. What we see on A9 specifically, which is the largest VM offered currently in Azure, which has 16 CPUs and 112 gigabyte, is certainly a dramatic higher SAPS throughput of that VM that is factors, many factors higher, I guess more than, or we can say more than 10 times what we can do on an A5. So that's looking very good in the future. We expect to support these larger VMs within the next 3 months. The reason why we only restricted to A5 at this point in time is that we are getting all the processes, all the support pieces in place. So think about the restriction to A5 being kind of a restriction that we put on for a ramp up of the whole program, especially for productive usage, so that within the next few months we have that all in place. We figured out that all is fine. And so we really think the next 2-3 months we will support and certify all the other VMs of A6, A7, A8, and A9. What we don't support is Azure Basic VMs. There are two different VM SKUs, to, so to speak, or service levels is probably the better term here. There's a basic and a standard level. We will, with SAP, not support basic VMs. We also will not support the traditional XS, S, M, L, XL VM types with SAP. What about the configurations as they are supported on Azure? We look into SAP two-tier and three-tier configurations that are supported. So you can have a system where the SAP application instance and the database instance is running in one VM. You can as well have a three-tier configuration set up where we have a dedicated DBMS VM and have a layer of multiple VMs that are representing the SAP application layer. Productive SAP systems or hybrid SAP landscapes that are running that are running distributed between on-premise and Azure are only supported in hybrid IT scenarios. I'll have an explanation what that means on slide 10. demo or training, so a sandbox system can run in Azure only. Scenarios the same here. There will be a slide that shows such an Azure only scenario. DBMS and SAP application layer need to be in the same location. So what we are not allowing is to have a database server located on-premise and have the SAP application layer located in Azure. The latency between those two locations, independent how they are connected, is still too large or too massive to really run such a configuration reasonably. That means either a complete SAP system is hosted on-premise or it's hosted on Azure. No way between there. Also, the SAP application layer and the DBMS VM, if we have a three-tier system that we are looking at, need to be located in the same Azure region. So you can't go on and deploy a few application instances in the US West region and the other ones in US East. That is not supported. Support services are required as well. As usually you have a SAP support contract, that's the assumption if you're running SAP or your customer's running SAP. Additionally, we will require a Microsoft Premier support contract for that customer. So let's look into the planning of a SAP deployment on Azure. As mentioned, let's first go into the scenarios. SAP deployment on Azure in Azure-only scenario. Azure-only scenario means that you have the Azure assets not really connected to your on-premise networking. Means there is no extension of your Active Directory into Azure. There is no usage of your DNS, on-premise DNS services in Azure. The only way to really get to those assets or SAP systems that are hosted in Azure are really going through the firewall proxy, getting through the internet, getting into Azure, usually with an RDP or terminal services session, so that those systems in Azure are quite isolated and then are really separated from your on-premise networking. We only support that for trainings and demo scenarios with SAP because of the transparency that we usually need for network connectivity in hybrid SAP landscapes. As mentioned, the scenarios, SAP training systems, SAP sandbox systems, or demo systems and demo landscapes. These are very often scenarios where you don't want to have the SAP systems connected to your networks because you either need to demo it from wherever your salespersons are, or you really need to have it separated because you are hosting trainings and attendees of different companies should not touch your network assets. Wider restrictions, as I mentioned, when we look at hybrid SAP landscapes, we usually think about the SAP transport correction system working transparently between the systems, between different locations, even if you have it on different on-premise data centers. So that cannot be done in a easy manner with an Azure-only scenario. Also the same with RFC calls, with file servers that need to be accessed. That is hardly possible only in very complex configurations possible with not having a real connectivity set up between your on-premise and Azure assets. Next scenario, this is the scenario where we really support for hybrid SAP landscapes. That is basically a site-to-site connection or a private / express route connection between your Azure assets and your on-premise locations. That is the way how most of our customers that we worked with, or I can really say all the customers that we worked with seriously, is going. So those customers usually have a VPN route set up. Over here in the US, we also have the first customers using ExpressRoute in order to extend the Active Directory service from on-premise into Azure, and also use the DNS services from on-premise for the Azure assets, for the Azure SAP systems. The usual case is then that these VMs hosting SAP systems in Azure are part of the on-premise domain, the same domain that the on-premise SAP systems are running in, same domain users are used, so there's a complete transparency between in the network connectivity between the users, so that there is no problem for the SAP transport correction systems. RFC would work, printing is working without a problem. So this is the goal, this is the way how hybrid SAP landscapes are supported in Azure, how productive SAP systems that are part of a landscape are supported by SAP and Microsoft in Azure. Given the current state of Azure in terms of the VMs, the capabilities of VMs, and the resources a single VM can provide, it is absolutely clear that we cannot put all SAP systems in Azure. For many customers, there are systems that require way larger VMs in terms of either CPU or memory. And so for the foreseeable future, we see that this scenario of hybrid SAP landscape through hybrid IT scenarios, as described in this slide, is the way to go and is the way forward for quite a while. So what do we need to consider when we really deploy SAP NetWeaver into Azure? We need to think about some limitations that they are. I just mentioned there are VM types, different VM types with different CPUs and memory combinations. And there is a maximum size that we currently have with A9 that is going to have 112 gigabyte and 16 CPUs. On the other hand, we do have customers that run database service with 80 CPUs and a terabyte of memory. On the other side, there are customers that are running two-tier systems, which could eventually fit into Azure if single components are distributed over different VMs. So when we look into how we want to deploy into Azure, the first thing we need to look at is CPU limits, memory limits, the number of virtual disks that we eventually would need for the databases, and the network and IO bandwidth that Azure can provide, which also means that in some SAP configurations, I might need to move from a two-tier configuration that I'm running on-premise into a three-tier configuration in order to fit the largest single component that needs a certain amount of resources into a single VM that is available on Azure, and then move the other other components into different VMs in order to get the overall resources for the whole systems out of Azure. I have a link here that leads to an article that describes exactly what the restrictions are on each of the VMs in terms of CPU resources, memory resources, as well as the number of virtual disks that can be mounted to each of those different VM types. When we look at how we want to approach deployment on Azure, we need to go down a certain list and look into different areas in order to figure out whether a system is going to be suitable to be deployed on Azure. The first thing is to know exactly the limitations, the VM sizes, the number of VHDs that one can apply, on the one side, so for the Azure restrictions or capabilities, let's put it positively. On the other side, we need to know about the system that we, SAP system we want to deploy and the characteristics of that system. So if we, for example, have a component like the DBMS that requires more resources than any one of the VM types in Azure can deliver, thinking about memory, thinking about CPU, then the system certainly is not a good fit for Azure. We should then track back a little bit and eventually cut that system off the list. The same is true when we look at I/O intensive components of an SAP system, which in a lot of cases is the database as well, could as well be T-Rex. So looking at that, we need to figure out, is Azure with the capabilities it's having the ideal platform? If you require 40,000 IOPS for the database server, and looking at the limitation that Azure at the moment has, or the capabilities that Azure VMs can provide, you might see that there is a difference. So Azure at this point in time is not able to provide 40,000 IOPS per VM, then that system certainly might not be a good candidate with that workload at this point in time. Things change in Azure, new capabilities are coming, so it's worth to check from time to time whether there were significant changes about the capabilities of Azure VMs. But at this point in time, as we do this webcast, might not be a good system to host on Azure if you require 40,000 IOPS. Same is true for SAP application layers. Is there a component that cannot be scaled out? Availability to promise check comes to my mind. It was one of the things that in former times needed to run on a CI. And today it's a little bit different eventually, but is there a component in the application layer that needs certain resources within one VM, cannot be scaled out to different VMs? Are these resource requirements exceeding what Azure can deliver? Probably not a good system to be deployed on Azure. Same is true for SAP application single point of failure, which requires Windows cluster configuration. That is something that is not yet deployable on Azure. You'll see it in the next slide. So if there is really the requirement to have the SAP CI, ASCS, SCS protected with a Windows cluster for a system, that cannot be done in Azure. If that is the absolute requirement to have something like that, then the system might not be the ideal candidate for Azure. As mentioned, HAVR considerations for SAP deployments on Azure. At the moment, we cannot map the shared disk requirement of the Windows clustering for the SAP CI, ASCS, SCS into Azure. We are working on finding solutions here, but that will still take us time. So at the moment, there is no protection for the SAP single point of failure. SAP Dialog instances, they are usually deployed in Azure availability sets, which distribute the SAP Dialog instances running in different VMs into different update and failure domains, so that if an update of host happens, not all the Dialog instances would be gone. Database side, you usually rely on methods of the database vendor. That could be something like always on for SQL Server, database mirroring, or log shipping. Other databases do have other type of availability, high availability DR methods. Backup restore on Azure DBMS, the same thing. You usually rely on the database methods and means here. SQL Server has also a native backup directly against Azure. SAP instances, you can either mount a drive that you back up the SAP instance or the drives of those VMs that run SAP instances on, or with Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2, you can use Windows to back up against Windows Azure directly. There's a recovery service in Azure that is playing in conjunction with the Windows backup here. Structure of a DBMS VM in Azure IIS, there is something that we need to consider here. That is that base VM, that means the VM that contains the operating system that basically is the C drive, has a limit of 127 gigabytes, whereas non-OS VHDs, virtual disks, can usually data VHDs can be up to 1 terabyte in size. At this point in time, also the VHDX format is not supported, so we need to make those VHDs, fixed VHDs, in the VHD format on-premise before we are uploading those. Database files usually then need to be located on separate data VHDs that are mounted to the deployed VM. The D drive is that you see in the VMs is a non-persisted drive and should not be used for any kind of components of SAP. The best thing to put on there is eventually the page file of the OS, but that's about it. Also, Azure VHDs offer a buffering that we don't use at all for our purposes here. So all the VHDs are non-buffered. When we look at the configuration of, for example, a database, a DBMS VM, or a two-tier VM, we are looking into this configuration here, where we have a base OS VHD that is on Azure, and while the VM is getting deployed, is copied into the compute node. We then have the data VHDs that are also on Azure storage, but only get mounted and do not get copied into the compute node. All persisted drives here that I can use for the data files of a database, for the transaction log files, as well as the temp DB files. So planning going further with the deployment, we need to think about Azure storage accounts and the mapping of the VM. Azure subscription does have a limited number of storage accounts that are available per subscription. So there's not a problem if I only deploy like 10 VMs, which is easy, lower than the number of storage accounts. I can basically assign a separate storage account to every VM deployment, where one VM then has the base VM plus the data VHDs in that storage account. As soon as I'm deploying like one of our customers did like 50 plus 60, 70, 80 SAP systems into Azure, one needs to think about combining different VMs with their data VHDs into one storage account. Reason why that can be a little bit tricky is that the storage account itself is not only an organizational unit, it also is a unit of storage that has some limitation in IOPS. They are certainly high, but there are limitations to the IOPS, and therefore we should consider that one should only have 30 to 40 VHDs with database data and transaction log file of those databases within one storage account in order not to exceed the IOPS limits that a storage account does have. We also discourage to distribute data VHDs of one VM over different storage accounts. Another thing about storage accounts is that they have a geo-replication set up, where we basically go between different regions, for example, from US West to East, US East. The failover into these geo-replicated sites is not initiatable by the customer or by anybody from the customer side. That's a decision by Microsoft in case a region, a complete region fails in our Azure infrastructure. There is a read-only access to the geo-replicated files, which is certainly not applicable for SAP scenarios. There's another problem with the geo-replication that we have, and that is about the fact that a database is living in multiple VHDs, as we just saw in the last graphics. And the replication for each VHD is independent of the other VHDs that are mounted. That means it's not guaranteed that overall the picture, the consistency over multiple VHDs is guaranteed in the geo-replication. Therefore, we usually disable geo-replication for storage accounts that are containing database files. How about the deployment ways of Azure? So we basically look into three basic deployment ways. The one way that some of our customers took is to use the Windows image in the public Azure gallery and the global Azure gallery, eventually even the SQL Server image or Windows SQL Server image, but be aware that the Windows SQL Server image will cost more in running it, so the hourly price is higher than the plain Windows image. With SQL Server, we imagine, or what we saw with all our SAP customers so far, is that they brought their own SQL Server licenses into Azure, so they basically used the Windows image out of the gallery. They patched and installed additional components that they needed into that Windows image. And with that, they basically had the Windows image in the state that they needed it according to their requirement. They installed the SAP software there. They took a backup of SAP databases from on-premise, uploaded them into VHDs that are hosted in Azure, and then they mounted the VHDs. Advantages that you don't need to create Azure images at home or on-premise, and disadvantages is a little bit that you have a lot of post-deployment work to do in Azure and configurations, and you might have over time difficulties to keep the same patch level between on-premise and Azure. The other one is what some of our customers did is basically creating an image, a deployment image of Windows, eventually with SQL Server, even eventually with SAP systems, instances already on-premise. They generalized that image. We call it SysPrep in Windows. Then they uploaded that VHD, declared it as an image to Azure, and now can find that image in their private gallery, only visible for that subscription that got used to upload the image and deploy out of that. Advantage is that the customer could get exactly the same state of software and everything prepared on-premise so that the image is exactly the same Windows image as it is on-premise and then upload it there. They can use a functionality of the software provisioning manager of SAP to rename pre-installed SAP instances, rename in the sense of changing the SID and these kinds of things. That's the second way. The third way then is to simply move a system into Azure by having the system running on-premise. This is making sure that the system meets the requirements of, for example, the base VM only having a size of a maximum of 127 gigabyte, having the VHDs in a fixed size VHD format, and then simply upload that system to Azure. Declare it as an Azure disk, all the VHDs declared as an Azure disk, and then simply deploy it, that Azure disk once. So that system is only deployable once. You only can deploy off that operating system disk that you basically uploaded. You only can deploy that once. But that meets the requirement of that case where a system just needs to be uploaded to Azure and doesn't need to be downloaded, or does not need to be deployed 5, 6, or even more times. So that's also an easy way to deploy a single system in Azure. There certainly is a way to download VHDs again. So given the fact that we are looking at Hyper-V for all the systems or the technical basis for everything, it is pretty easy to download such a VHD again and run it on on-premise Hyper-V again. We also needed to find a solution in the process of SAP certification for monitoring requests that SAP had to Azure as a platform. So we basically did invest into an Azure monitoring extension for SAP. That's a requirement to have it installed in the VMs. It is a process that happens semi-automatic to a degree that you usually don't need to install any software. The whole thing works in a way that after the deployment of a VM, you basically run a PowerShell script that's downloadable in the Azure Script Center. That script will basically instruct Azure to deploy the Windows Azure Diagnostics agent plus a separate agent that includes the Azure Monitoring extension for SAP into the VM. The SAP host agent components then will contact or will communicate with that Azure Monitoring extension for SAP within the VM. That monitoring agent again will use the Windows Azure Diagnostic agent in order to get data out of the Azure Windows or out of the Azure Diagnostics framework that's running throughout all the Azure infrastructure. Very important to really install that because it's a requirement by SAP to have the host to have the monitoring running on Azure very properly. When we look into the customers that we worked with so far, we could find quite a few advantages of Azure, or customers experienced advantages. One is certainly from a deployment time where customers needed to get sandbox systems up pretty swiftly or demo systems up pretty swiftly, and their internal procurement or even getting internal VMs deployed was a longer process. So having a SAP basis team that immediately can get some Azure VMs deployed with SAP content in it really, really cut down the time that it took to get such a sandbox demo or training system set up. The other one is certainly savings. We worked with a few customers that deployed systems that were only partially used, where they faced a scenario, they handed VMs over to the data center folks, and the data center folks did charge the internal users or the internal group, independent of the fact that the VM was actually deployed or not deployed. That is not the case in Azure. If you use a VM, if you know that you use VMs only partially throughout the 724 hours the week has, you can shut those VMs down and you are not getting charged. That, for some of our customers, already is a big potential of savings. So I leave it to that, and I think, yeah. I got my part done here. Now I'm handing over to Peter, who will talk about what Microsoft IT so far did in Azure.
Sure. I'll talk real quickly. You're advancing the slides there, Jürgen. Let's go to the next slide. The first thing I want to talk about is Microsoft IT is very excited about SAP on Azure We think it's going to be the best platform to go run it. Microsoft has a first and best customer program. We're already on SQL 14. We're already working on the next version of SQL on our SAP systems. We're very much making sure that this stuff works for the industry, and we believe strongly that it's going to be an important platform. If we go to the next slide, I'll just remind you guys what our environment is in the SAP environment. We have a large ERP system, a large e-recruiting system, supply chain systems, global trade, solution manager, convergent invoicing, convergent charging, GRC system, and a bunch of other miscellaneous components. What we're looking at right now is we want to talk about this GRC system as one of the smaller SAP systems and talk about doing a full to-production version of that. For most of the rest of the part, we're looking at definitely the sandboxes that we have in this environment and the dev boxes. If you guys remember an SAP environment, typically there's five systems in a production landscape. You go with a dev, QA, test, production, and disaster recovery type of environment. And so, you know, in any case, we have 11 copies of production if you go through all of the various systems and sandboxes. And what we can do to reduce that is greatly going to impact that. If we go to the next slide, I'll also point out we are already doing a lot of work with SAP and Azure. So we talk a lot about how do we run SAP on Azure, but I also want to make a plea for SAP with Azure. We already have a bunch of hybrid type applications where we have Azure-based front ends talking to an on-premise SAP system. You know, our performance application, which is where everybody right now is doing their year performance, is an example of where we're doing the front ends in a cloud-based application talking back into SAP system, business case builder, where we do most of our pricing. But if you want to go through our plans on the next slide, I mean, the key things that we're looking at doing right now is we already have some sandbox activity underway. We've been involved with a lot of the you want to call up the ramp up and the TAP programs involved with that. We do have a couple of blocking issues that are keeping us. This is more IT policy than Azure capabilities. We are looking at that. But we're targeting and having at least one of the complete pipelines dev to production available in the FY15 Q2 timeframe, you know, near the end of the calendar year. That's probably going to be the GRC system and potentially, you know, something else small. But again, we're looking at small targeting systems. And we're also looking at moving most of our sandboxes in that timeframe. So, you know, IT is very excited about what we're doing with Azure. We're doing already a lot of Azure work in the overall space, but we're working heavily to make it work in our SAP space as well. So with that, why don't we go to some questions, because I see we have quite a few.
Yeah, thank you. So folks in the audience, feel free to submit any questions at this point. We already have a number that have come in, so let's go ahead and dive in. The first question from Ken. Would you recommend multiple A5s or a move up in size? Is scale up or scale out the better strategy for SAP?
Jürgen here. So that certainly depends on what the end goal of the system's going to be. As mentioned on our side, we will release larger VM sizes. So usually I'd always would go with a larger VM size before scaling the system out. That's usually a little bit easier simply from a handling, from the operating system handling. Please keep in mind that the operating system handling means patching of operating system, user administration, operational aspects are still in responsibility of you as a customer or you as a partner. That means the more VMs you are running, the more efforts you have in that space. So at this point in time, the answer with A5s being the only ones certified and supported with SAP, the answer certainly would look a little bit differently because you would go scale out, so to speak, whereas in the future with larger VM sizes, you do have chances of rather doing the scale up first before you hitting the limits or the capabilities that Azure can provide.
That's good.
Great, thanks.
Great.
So next question around your discussion on the hybrid scenario. In the hybrid scenario, can we configure the Azure SAP instances to not have public or external endpoints?
Absolutely, we can do that. In the hybrid scenario, that's one of the big things of the hybrid scenario, that we can basically eliminate the need for external endpoints here. That's, for example, a policy here in Microsoft as well, when we have the hybrid scenario that we do not have external endpoints. That's absolutely possible, and that's a big thing. When we look at how an Azure VM is approached through the internet, when you do not have a hybrid scenario, you go through a software load balancer, you hit the external endpoint, so to speak, and you also immediately will turn back through the internet in order to do the traffic. Whereas in a hybrid scenario, you usually, as mentioned, can eliminate the external endpoints and then really get through your VPN or express route to those VMs. Please keep in mind, eliminating the RDP endpoint, the external-facing RDP endpoint, also means that you cannot RDP into that VM through the Azure portal, but you usually take your RDP through the VPN and address the internal IP address of that VM instead of the external IP address. So absolutely doable. No external endpoints necessary.
Great, thank you. So the next question from Saurabh, what is the impact of moving SAP to Azure on interfaces to upstream and downstream apps?
Yeah, so basically the largest impact that we are seeing is the latency between your Azure assets when we do the hybrid IT approach and the on-premise systems. So first of all, when you do the VPN route, you should have a decent throughput of at least a gigabit a second when you look at some of the traffic's happening. If you really look at mass data movement, so that think about an SAP BW Delta load type of thing, especially in OLAP data warehouse scenarios, can become a tricky thing in terms of throughput, of bandwidth of the line that you have into Azure. Exchanges that require small IOs, as for example, as we see it, for example, in SAP Transport Correction System, might require you to have two different transport directories, one for Azure and one for on-premise, and link the transport domains together. So definitely latency, throughput bandwidth on your Azure VPN Express Route connections can play a role. What experience-wise, what we are seeing is that the Express Route or private connectivity, as it's called as well, is delivering better latencies, means smaller latencies than the VPN route.
Great, thank you. So next question from Ali. Can private SAP images be shared for others to use?
When we look at others to use means other subscriptions, then the answer, well, yes, it could be done in a sense that you basically share such an image with another subscription and make it available for that for people using that other subscription to copy the VM or the VHDs from your subscription into their subscription. That is possible. But it would be required that they copy those at the end of the day. So those private images would not show up automatically in the list of private images of another subscription. In order to achieve that, holders or administrators of the other subscription that you share a VHD with need to copy that over into their own premises, declare it an Azure image, and then it would show up in their gallery.
Licensing issues.
Certainly then, so it depends, Peter had a good input here. We certainly have a licensing thing here as well, especially when we look at SAP licenses. SAP licenses is bring your own license, so you certainly should not share that with other customers if there are SAP components in that VM.
Great, Great, thank you. And we've gotten a couple questions around SAP HANA. Is there anything you can speak to in terms of kind of the roadmap or the vision for that longer term?
No, I mean, certainly from a HANA point of view, our goal at the end is to have, we have HANA Developer Edition. Our goal is to get to the end stage of HANA Enterprise Edition or whatever the productive SKU of HANA is or is going to be that allows to run NetWeaver application against that has full SAP support. So in order to get there, we need to have VMs that meet a certain criteria in terms of virtual CPUs as well as memory. At this point in time, we cannot provide those sizes of VMs necessary, but we are certainly working towards that direction. Hard to say, I would not like to give any time schedules or timelines on this. But certainly in the scope, and certainly a plan we are working on.
Great, and we've also gotten a couple questions around pricing. You know, whether there's any cost associated with demo or training deployments. So would you be able to speak just kind of at a high level to what the pricing looks like?
Well, the pricing of Azure at this point in time is dependent on customers. I don't know anything about how Azure is really integrated into enterprise agreements or something like that. The only prices I do know is our standard price list. So can't really tell more about licensing. That is subject of every account manager for the customers and how the pricing to a degree is done there and how that all works.
I think the other element though was the differentiation between a production and a non-production use, and I don't think there's any qualification.
No, there's no qualification for that. No.
Okay. And we're, I got another 4 minutes here, so probably time for two more questions. We've gotten a couple questions around the monitoring solution. So if you could just speak to what's included in that and if there's any integration to on-premise event management systems.
No, the monitoring solution that we talked about, the SAP monitoring extension, is integrated into the SAP host control, host agent, and with that is available or in OS, in SAP transaction OS 07, and as such also get propagated to the solution manager. For the specific Azure monitoring extension that we built for running within the VMs, we don't have other external tools that are integrated into those.
Okay, thank you. And our last question, would the SAP app work with the Azure Remote app?
With Azure Remote app. In all honesty, I don't know what Azure Remote app is at this point. I would need to have more details on the question.
Okay, I'll give Hikmat a moment to maybe respond here if he wants to provide a little more detail to the question. And if not,
if you allow, there's a question about Linux SUSE for SAP planned as supported for the SAP NetWeaver application server. Absolutely, this is in plan as well. We want to have SAP application instances, NetWeaver application instances that are running on SUSE Linux as a guest operating system supported in Azure as well. It's on the timeline, it's on a time schedule, there's a certain timeline that we want to meet here. We are working on it. I don't want to really release the timeline here or the time schedule, but that is certainly in the focus and we are already working on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it looks like we got a little more detail on the question. So he was referring specifically to the remote desktop session. in regards to Azure Remote App?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the SAP, sure, you can use Remote Desktop in order to move into the or to connect to those VMs. And
sure.
And what's also working is that even in the Azure-only scenario that you can connect a local SAP GUI to these Azure systems or SAP systems running in Azure without even using RDP, that's also possible. I will have a, on our blog site, I will have an article on that within the next week.
Pretty cool feature.
Great. All right, well, Jürgen, Peter, thanks so much for leading the session today, and a big thanks to everyone in the audience for tuning in. I hope you all can make future Azure webinars, and I hope you all have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for attending. Thank you.